Late winter has historically been a dumping ground for films that distributors didn't think could make it in summers filled with tentpole action films or the fall's prestige award lineups. But that seems to be changing, and two new releases show signs that spring has come to the cinema calendar. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. To discuss two new films now playing on the big screen, I'm happy to have back in the studio frequent contributor and former high school and UTEP film lecturer, Jean Creel. Good morning, Jean.
Morning. Thank you.
We've both been back in the cinemas. We've seen two relatively good films this last weekend that are showing now. Let's start off with Zootopia.
All right. Well, this is truly an Easter basket of goodies from Disney Studios. We have a smart and spunky little bunny surrounded by beautiful animation in gorgeous Easter egg pastels. That was something that struck me immediately. Judy Hopps is bucking tradition and everyone's expectations in becoming the very first bunny rabbit cop. So she leaves her the security of her father's farm and heads to Zootopia. And, of course, Zootopia is a play on the word utopia, which very simply means a perfect or ideal world. And Judy's hopes of making that an even better place are dashed when she becomes a meter maid. So now in Zootopia, where all of the animals live in total peace and tranquility, fully clothed, nearly human, prey and predator living side by side. She has a fortuitous run-in with a con fox named Nick Wilde. And when she's finally given the opportunity to investigate one of these missing animal cases that have arisen, she and Nick embark on a crazy and dangerous pursuit of the evil animals that have gone wild. Of course, being a Disney film, themes abound, such as following your dreams, inclusion, diversity, bullying, stereotyping. At one point, even Judy falls prey to a long-held prejudice. But maybe the overarching theme is that change starts with you, with an individual.
Fascinating film, too. We're used to our Disney films being sort of morality plays. But this one almost felt like a civics lesson.
That's true. The politics is a major component.
It is striking technically, too. You mentioned how beautiful it is. Disney seems to still be on top of the heap when it comes to lavishing incredible production values. And though all of the characters are anthropomorphized animals, which we're used to and very stylized in their depiction, the world they live in, the lighting, the gravity, the texture of things is so natural. I found myself almost at times forgetting I was watching an animated film. It's just so beautiful to look at and widescreen.
Right, right. And that reality that you're touching on is something that parents might consider. It is rated PG. PG-13 might be too exclusive, but I'm not really sure that the really wee ones would enjoy the film.
There was a lot of fidgeting in the theater when I saw it. It was a packed house, but I would say, you know, the typical Disney film is usually okay for the 3 to 5 year olds, but this one feels more like 8 and above.
Exactly. 8 was sort of the age I had picked on. In fact, when I saw the film in the audience, there was audible gasps at one of the scenes, actually, of the opening. I sort of was taken aback briefly.
Yeah.
So it's something to consider.
They're widening their reach, I think, with this film. And I give them kudos for that. There's so much going on. It's amazing, too, that these animated films take years to develop at Disney and Pixar and the other major animated studios just because of the amount of time that goes into making them. But it feels so topical, so many of the touch points of this film, that particularly given the low level of political discourse we're wading through right now from some of our presidential candidates, this seems to be speaking directly to our times.
It is. It's almost uncanny. In fact, the audience may think, oh, these people are capitalizing on the current election year. And of course, that's not true.
This would have been started years ago.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you have the social contract erosion. Bunny, as you mentioned out, is small female who's sort of dealing with tokenism, too. There's an initiative to broaden the number of people who are on the police force, and not only being female but small, there's also that dichotomy going on through the film where she's facing pushback, shall we say, in a fairly masculinized world where a lot of the bigger animals are in more prominent positions of power and authority. And she's just this little cute bunny with this really positive, idealistic outlook that anybody can be anything.
Right.
And it's this clash of ideology and sort of the glue that holds that society together, the promise of that society versus the reality, the street level reality, which I think is a good doppelganger for America.
Right. I think one phrase that stuck with me that comes from one of the evil animals is fear always works.
Hmm.
And that really resonated. I thought, you know, that very often is what will motivate people, unfortunately.
Well, I think it was a great story for this particular time of rampant hysteria with politicians preying on our own basis fears, and really segues nicely to our next film, which is also just so happens to be about a clash of cultures and a woman trying to do her job in a highly masculinized world. A very different film, R-rated.
Yes.
Dramedy. It tries to have a little comedy and drama together. And that's Tina Fey's film, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. This was co-directed by Glenn Ficarro and John Fuqua. Some people might remember from I Love You, Philip Morris, kind of an offbeat dramedy also. It's at times an uneasy partnering of comedy and the brutal realities of war, in this case, the Afghanistan War. It's based on a true story. It's a memoir story. Tina Fey is playing a middle-aged cable news copywriter in New York who takes a position as a correspondent in Afghanistan in 2003 at a time when maybe our focus is shifting to Iraq and Afghanistan is seen as more of a backwater, but she's having a midlife crisis and decides to go off and test herself. So we're really covering about 3 years there in her development and the arc of her story. And the writer, there's a lot of people involved with this that are from SNL. Of course, Tina Fey, the writer Robert Carlock is a former SNL writer and also worked with her on 30 Rock. Lorne Michaels has a prominent producing credit on this film. It does try to tread a fine line. It doesn't pull many punches with regards to the ground realities in Afghanistan. Its small doses of comedy are usually organic, I thought, to the story. But there are moments where it feels a little forced, a little Tina Fey-ish, that you feel like the writer just could not help inserting something that takes you out of the moment. But by and large, I thought the film's best moments are those that really allow Fey to be serious, which we haven't really seen her in a role like this before. She's got these moments of doubt, of fear, even her transformation from this maybe a character we're used to seeing her as, the meek cubicle worker that's kind of insecure. As she becomes more tested, she's a cussing, run-at-danger sort of war correspondent by the end of this. It's quite the transformation in her own character. I really give it high marks for that. I personally have found it hard to find some of these SNL actors in the films they're doing now really becoming the characters they're playing. You always see them as that comedian. But I thought Tina Fey really stretched herself with this film, and we should note that she's also a producer, and she used her own production company to option this book and get it made. And it certainly feels like she was trying to push herself and our own acceptance of what she can do further on. There's an amazing supporting cast, too, and I kept thinking that maybe that's also part of her SNL past, is this egalitarianism with your fellow actors.
The ensemble.
Mm-hmm. And so there's a rich ensemble that includes Margot Robbie, Martin Freeman, Alfred Molina, Billy Bob Thornton, especially mm-hmm. Thornton, who gives this wonderfully detached portrayal of a Marine general whose body language and silences and blank expressions just speak volumes about the futility and frustration of his mission.
He was a strong character without going over the top,
yes,
which he can do.
Yes.
I like, too, the idea that there isn't too much the smacking of SNL here, and
right.
I wouldn't want people to feel put off by that. The comedy of SNL so often is satire, which is extreme, and I think this is more in the realm of irony and the idea of
That's a good way to see it.
The comedy and the drama of war and the horror of it and the chaos and the messiness of it. But at the same time, if you can't find humor somewhere, you're really out of your depth.
And I think when it gets it right, that balance, it's the humor is coming organically out of people who it's their only option in this the absurdity that they find themselves.
Right.
And the horrors that they can either slip into the abyss or they can try to lighten it with humor. But it's a light touch, and I think the previews maybe might leave listeners thinking they're going to a comedy. This is not a comedy. I would say it certainly falls heavier on the drama side with touches of organic humor to it. I thought the subtlety of the relationship and how it evolves between Tina Fey's character and Christopher Abbott, the actor who plays her Afghan translator.
Fahim.
And all the ways in which we're looking at an American woman in a difficult war correspondent situation dealing with a mostly masculine entourage, but also in a culture that has a very different view of women. And the film takes time out to also look at the plight of those women in Afghanistan.
You're right. And it's an interesting mirror image of Tina Fey as a female in her culture and the women she encounters in her time there. These women in their culture, are they similar? Are they really that different? It's an interesting film. Certainly a great film for discussion.
Very few films that take this approach to war. I can only think of a handful, like Three Kings with George Clooney, MASH. Charlie Wilson's War also happened to be about Afghanistan. So if it comes up a little short for me as a film, I can still recommend this for the things it gets right. Its sense of the landscape of war, the complexity of the mission in Afghanistan, the clash of cultures, the difficulty of being a female war correspondent. You know, there's a lot to recommend about this film. It just never seems to quite crystallize.
Messy.
It is messy, like war itself. So maybe that was planned and not an afterthought. Two pretty good films out in theaters right now to see that we can recommend.
Right.
Anything on the small screen you'd throw out as we wrap up?
I was intrigued by the Justin Kurzel's treatment of Macbeth, primarily because of the stars, Michael Fassbender and Marion Cotillard as Mr. and Mrs. It's streaming on Amazon Prime now. I never did see it in the theaters here. And it is very dark, very dark. And, of course, one may struggle with the Shakespeare language because it is done in the play dialogue.
Takes some time to get
your
ear trained.
Yes, it does. But I found it worthwhile, but I guess I should say it's noteworthy that I read about six different reviews, and they were about half and half praise and pan.
Right down the middle.
Yep.
For me, I like a lot of listeners, I'm guessing we're all in a bit of depression over the end of Downton Abbey's run on PBS. If you're in the need of some upstairs, downstairs films to fill the void, I highly recommend the 2001 Robert Altman film, Gosford Park. And, of course, Jean Renoir's 1939 masterpiece, The Rules of the Game, I think a film that could easily be one of the greatest films ever made, certainly in the top 10. Both split their time between Servants and Served. And if you haven't been on the Downton Abbey bandwagon, you can also watch that on streaming via pbs.org. Gene, always nice to get your recommendations and thoughts on cinema. Thanks for coming in today.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Thanks.
I've been discussing the new Disney film Zootopia and Tina Fey's latest dramedy, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, with frequent On Film contributor Gene Creel. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thanks for listening to On Film.